I like to obey the law.
The case of One Incorporated versus Olson was the court's first case dealing with homosexuality.
It's a relationship that doesn't happen very much in this town. It's a 52-year-old marriage.
The first time I've ever won an award with him. Ever.
In 1997, when Ellen's sitcom was at the height of its popularity, I was in my mother's basement lifting weights and thinking, am I gay?
I'm going to keep it quick. I was born in New Orleans in 1958. Oh, 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 I'm gonna love you again.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. China accepts petitions for marriage equality, how One's top court fight became the first one, and queerest moments of the Golden Globes. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news interaffecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending January 11th, 2020. China's National People's Congress is publicly accepting online petitions in favor of opening marriage to lesbian and gay couples during its current review and update of the country's civil code. Queer activists are applauding the baby step and are cautiously optimistic that further steps toward equality are ahead. Congressional Legislative Affairs Committee spokesman Yue Zhongming said at a press conference that they had received more than 237,000 online messages and 5,600 letters calling for marriage equality to be written into China's civil marriage and family code. Peng Yanzi of LGBT Rights Advocacy China told NBC News that, "We were very happy, pleasantly surprised by the news." The Chinese news website iFeng reported almost 60% of the nearly 4.5 million people who responded to its poll supported marriage equality. 2.8 million respondents were opposed. That's about 38%. 21-year-old Shenzhen lesbian Gao Chanhui told NBC News that she doesn't expect any immediate progress. Now that the subject is, in her words, publicly and officially on the table, it gives the LGBT community hope for the first time after years of hiding and struggling.
Another sign of hope for equality activists in the new year came from a 23-second ad for Tmall, an e-commerce platform owned by China's web giant Alibaba. The ad features a young man bringing another young man home for the Chinese New Year holiday. Two quietly giggling girls seem to recognize that Kelvin is more than just a friend. At the dinner table, the father hands Kelvin a bowl of soup. Kelvin responds, "Thanks, Dad," and an awkward silence ensues. A voiceover announcer then promotes a sale on dried seeds and nuts, spoofing a Chinese expression for watching drama unfold. According to CNN Business, the video went viral after it was posted on China's giant Twitter-like social media website, Weibo. It's had millions of views, and support far outweighs the opposition among more than 4,500 comments to date. Alibaba's Nothing Queer to See Here media statement simply explains that Chinese New Year is a time for family reunion and inclusion, and the ad is a creative expression to celebrate such an occasion.
Marriage equality is apparently unattainable in the Philippines for the foreseeable future. The Supreme Court announced on January 5th that it was rejecting a final appeal in a lawsuit challenging the Family Code's heterosexual-only marriage provisions. Openly gay lawyer Jesus Falsis III began that fight in 2015. The ruling says no further pleading or motions will be entertained. In its September dismissal, the High Court's three main points were that the attorney had no legal standing to file the lawsuit, that he had violated the court hierarchy by filing there instead of lower courts, and that he had failed to raise an actual justiciable controversy. This week, the justices reaffirmed their belief that the issue needed to be addressed by lawmakers, not judges. Religious conservatives in the heavily Roman Catholic East Asian nation praised the ruling. House Deputy Speaker Eddie Villanueva also leads the group Jesus is Lord Church Worldwide. He said that opening civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples would be tantamount to denying our identity as a people and a betrayal of our deep-held morals.
High drama played out in Brazil's Supreme Court this week. An appeals court judge in Rio de Janeiro ordered Netflix to remove its The First Temptation of Christ holiday special after religious conservatives filed suit claiming that the video was blasphemous. The Portuguese-language satire has Jesus bringing home his boyfriend, Orlando, to meet the Holy Family. It's an episode of a comedy sketch show called Porta dos Fundo, or The Back Door. The production company's Rio headquarters were firebombed with Molotov cocktails during the early morning hours of Christmas Eve. A security guard managed to extinguish the flames. One attacker later fled to Russia, bragging about the attack. Brazilian officials have requested the assistance of Interpol to help locate and detain him. The right-wing Christian group's lawsuit had been rejected in a lower court, but the appeals court judge supported their demand on January 9th that the comedy be removed. Then Brazil's Supreme Court accepted an appeal and ruled in favor of Netflix the following day. Supreme Court President Dias Toffoli said that, "One cannot suppose that a humorous satire has the ability to weaken the values of the Christian faith, whose existence is traced back more than 2,000 years and which is the belief of the majority of Brazilian citizens." The UK Queer Pink News website headlined their report, "He is risen, Netflix wins appeal."
A U.S. federal appeals court has upheld an injunction preventing the discharge of two Air Force servicemen simply because they are HIV positive. Judge James A. Wynn Jr. wrote the decision for the three-judge appeals court panel. It agreed with the two airmen, whose 2018 lawsuit challenged the Trump administration over their discharges. Wynn wrote that, "A ban on deployment may have been justified at a time when HIV treatment was less effective at managing the virus and reducing transmission risks." He called support for a blanket ban on HIV-positive service members outmoded and at odds with current science. The ruling covers not only the two airmen, but other Air Force personnel living with HIV. U.S. District Judge Leonie Brinkema issued the original injunction that now still prevents the Trump administration from discriminating against HIV-positive service members. She is expected to decide on the merits of the case at a later date. The two airmen's attorneys are also working on a companion case that is heading to its first court date. The plaintiff there is an enlistee who is denied a commission as a JAG officer based only on his HIV status.
The European Parliament ended 2019 by slamming the widespread campaign in Poland to create LGBTI-free zones. The parliamentarians called on the Polish government to revoke all resolutions attacking LGBTI rights by dozens of municipal governments that have designated zones free from any LGBTI ideology. The December 18th vote was 463 to 107. Poland's entrenched right-wing Law and Justice Party government has staunchly opposed any queer rights advances. It has the backing of the politically powerful Roman Catholic Church. Longtime party leader Jarosław Kaczyński has said that people who support LGBTQ rights threaten our identity, threaten our nation, and threaten the Polish state. Last year saw a spike in anti-queer violence in the Eastern European nation. That was most evident in the brazen assaults by homophobic right-wing thugs against pride marchers in smaller cities. The Law and Justice Party is ramping up its homophobic vitriol ahead of the country's upcoming general elections. That tactic was successful during the last election cycle.
Meanwhile, Poland's progressive political parties are nominating openly gay lawmaker Robert Biedron as their candidate in the May presidential election. Leaders in the left-wing coalition said Biedron was chosen on January 7th because of his clear support for women's rights and the separation of church and state. They believe both have eroded since 2015 during the tenure of the Law and Justice Party. The 44-year-old Biedron faces a steep uphill battle against incumbent President Andrzej Duda. There's also a relatively more liberal candidate supported by the country's major opposition party, the Civic Platform. Biedron is currently a member of the European Parliament. He's well known for his queer rights work, especially pushing for the legal recognition of same-gender couples in Poland. He's also a climate change activist and supports free access to contraception and abortion rights. Despite having little to no realistic chance of winning, Biedron nevertheless tweeted that the nomination itself is a great honor.
There were two notable stories this week featuring U.S. Democratic Party presidential contender Pete Buttigieg. The first out gay to rise this far in the race has picked up his first endorsement by a black member of Congress. Representative Anthony Brown of Maryland told The Washington Post this week that Buttigieg is the guy to lead our nation after we defeat Donald Trump and have to pick up the pieces and repair the damage of the last 4 years. The endorsement from former Maryland Lieutenant Governor Brown is seen as significant because polling consistently shows African American support for Buttigieg to be virtually microscopic. Still known as Mayor Pete, Buttigieg's term as South Bend, Indiana's chief executive expired on January 1st.
Finally, there's the more entertaining second Buttigieg story this week, at least from our perspective. It's the candidate's response to reports that once-upon-a-time Democrat Donald Trump appears to sometimes be obsessed with him. Trump lambasted the Democratic presidential wannabes at a rally of evangelicals this week for what he called trying to replace God with socialism. Ignoring the former mayor's Catholic school upbringing, Trump charged that Buttigieg in particular is trying to pretend he's very religious. This happened about 2 weeks ago. Buttigieg told MSNBC that he didn't know why Trump has taken such an interest in him.
I just don't know where that's coming from. It's been a complex journey for me, as it is for a lot of people, but I'm pretty sure I've been a believer longer than he's been a Republican.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending January 11th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Michael Lebeau.
I had a successful sitcom and I came out. Then I lost that sitcom. And then I got another sitcom and I lost that sitcom too. And then I got a talk show and I was able to be myself. And I couldn't have done it without my husband, Mark. I think it sends a really powerful message to anyone out there trying to start a career and saying, I'm different. You can accomplish a whole lot.
Hollywood celebrates one first-of-her-kind performer after we celebrate the 62nd anniversary of One Magazine's first-of-its-kind high court case.
One Magazine, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. In the early 1950s, Los Angeles became the center of a burgeoning gay community. On October 15, 1952, 2 years after Harry Hay co-founded the Mattachine Society, a discussion group including a number of members started the first gay publication with a national circulation, One Magazine. Their purpose was to establish a magazine dealing primarily with homosexuality from the scientific, historical, and critical point of view. The first issue was published in January 1953 and was sold openly on the streets of Los Angeles. It sported a sophisticated look with bold graphics done by professional typesetters and designers. Most subscribers paid extra to have it delivered in an unmarked wrapper. But the October 1954 edition caught the eye of the L.A. postmaster, who seized and refused to deliver all copies of One Magazine on the grounds that it was obscene, lewd, lascivious, and filthy. A lengthy court battle followed, led by the young lawyer Eric Julber, who took the case pro bono. It was up to Julber alone to convince the court that One Magazine was educational and not pornographic. The case of One Incorporated versus Olson went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and was the court's first case dealing with homosexuality. On January 13, 1958, the Supreme Court, in a one-sentence decision, stated that discussion of homosexuality was not obscene, thus overturning previous rulings of two lower courts. One Magazine continued publication until 1967. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia. It's read by volunteers like me. I'm Dan Roberts.
So much cooler online.
There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
CDs, and downloadable materials.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
Queer performers, allies, and LGBT content had a powerful presence at this year's Golden Globe Awards. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association doled out its film and television honors on January 5th in Beverly Hills and longtime favorites shared the spotlight with exciting newcomers. Leading the gay way was the songwriting team of Elton John and Bernie Taupin for their win for Best Original Song. The Best Picture-nominated biopic Rocket Man depicts the early days of their chart-topping relationship, and Taupin and John were thrilled to have I'm Gonna Love Me Again chalk up another first in their legendary collaboration.
Okay, I'm gonna say something. All right, thank you, Hollywood Foreign Press. You know, this is really sweet because this is not just about a song we wrote for a movie. This is a song we wrote for a movie which deals with our relationship. And it's a relationship that doesn't happen very much in this town. It's a 52-year-old marriage. So thank you.
To Dexter, our director, to Paramount, everyone involved in this film, it was one of the most emotional moments of my life. And to win this, it's the first time I've ever won an award with him. Ever. We never won a Grammy, we never did anything together, except for this, and I'm so happy. Thank you very much.
Taron Egerton took the Best Actor Motion Picture Musical or Comedy Prize for portraying Elton John.
This role has changed my life. It's been the best experience of my life. I am so proud of the film. Thank you so, so much, David Furnish, for allowing me to believe I was the man to play your husband. Bernie Taupin, for being as lovely a man as you are, a legend. And finally, to Elton John, thank you for the music. Thank you for living a life less ordinary. And thank you for being my friend. Finally, oh yeah, that flashing at me. My mother is in here somewhere. This one's for you, ma'am.
Renee Zellweger's best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama recalled the life of another treasured gay icon.
The conversations that I have had with people internationally who just want to express their love for Judy Garland and tell about the great personal significance of her legacy and her humanity has been a great reminder that the choices that we make matter. What we make matters, and how we choose to honor each other in our lifetimes can matter a great deal down the road. Thank you so much, everybody. It's nice to see you. I'm honored.
Lesbian comedian and talk show host Ellen DeGeneres was this year's recipient of the Honorary Carol Burnett Award, which is given for outstanding contributions to television on or off the screen. Lesbian comedian Kate McKinnon introduced DeGeneres with a moving personal tribute.
In 1997, when Ellen's sitcom was at the height of its popularity, I was in my mother's basement lifting weights in front of the mirror and thinking, am I gay? And I was, and I still am. And but that's a very scary thing to suddenly know about yourself. It's sort of like doing 23andMe and discovering that you have alien DNA. And the only thing that made it less scary was seeing Ellen on TV. She risked her entire life and her entire career in order to tell the truth, and she suffered greatly for it. Of course, attitudes change, but only because brave people like Ellen jump into the fire to make them change. And if I hadn't seen her on TV, I would have thought, oh, I could never be on TV. They don't let LGBTQ people on TV. And more than that, I would have gone on thinking that I was an alien and that I maybe didn't even have a right to be here. So thank you, Ellen, for giving me a shot at a good life.
Let's have a little fun today.
so much.
Ellen DeGeneres.
You never know where life takes you, huh? Before I say anything, Australia, I love you. My heart goes out to everyone who is suffering in Australia, all the animals that we've lost. Kate, you're incredible, and thank you so much. I know how hard. I hate being asked to do things like this, so thank you for doing this. Thank you for flying here. Thank you for writing something. Thank you for the amazing, the words that you said. Thank you so much. I love you. I love you. Thank you so much to the Hollywood Foreign Press. I feel humbled and honored to receive this. The first person after Carol Burnett is quite an honor, so thank you so much. It's a prestigious award, and what I like most about it is that I knew coming in I would win, because I mean, there's nothing worse than sitting there, like most of you, waiting and wondering if you're going to win, and politely acting like, oh, I'm going to listen to everybody's speeches, like it's nice, and it's not. Because people just go on and 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 on, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be quick. Although I don't have to, because it's a special award, and they don't play me off. I mean, I don't have to end at all, because it's a special award. But they said they were going to give me a sign at 25 minutes, but that's for my reference, just to see where I was. But I could go on. I'm not. I'm going to keep it quick. I was born in New Orleans in 1958, January 26. Dr. Swanson delivered me at 8:43 in the morning. A rainy, rainy, and not, I mean, Louisiana, heavy rain. My parents drove me home in a Buick. I think it was a Buick. It could have been a Ford or a Chrysler. I think it was a Buick. The point is, they brought me home in a car. And before I knew it, I had a successful sitcom, and I came out. And then I lost that sitcom. And then I got another sitcom, and I lost that sitcom, too. And then I got to do something that I'd never been able to do before, and that is make my own whiskey. And after that, I got a talk show, and I was able to be myself. And that was 17 years ago. And I feel like you've all really gotten to know me over the past 17 years. I am an open book. And I couldn't have done it without my husband, Mark. Mark, you are my rock. Thank you for supporting me through this crazy journey. I know it wasn't easy for you or the kids. Rupert and Fiona, go to bed. I love you. That's funny, because they're in college now. But the point is, you all know me. And obviously you know me, or else you wouldn't have laughed at all that. I feel like we all think we know someone. There's a connection when we watch someone on TV for as long as we are on TV. And that's what it was like for me with Carol Burnett. I felt like I knew her. I felt like she showed us who she was every week. She was larger than life. She was... We counted on her to make us feel good, and she delivered every single week. She never let us down. She was hilarious in all the sketches that she did, and when she did the Q&A with the audience, she was just genuine and personal, and I always felt like she was speaking to me. When at the end of the show, every time she pulled her ear, I knew she was saying, "It's okay, I'm gay too." Thank you. Television it inspired and influenced everything that I am today. Lucille Ball, Mary Tyler Moore, Marlo Thomas, Dick Van Dyke, Bob Newhart, Mannix. There's a little bit of all of them in me. That doesn't sound right, but you know what I'm saying. All I've ever wanted to do is make people feel good and laugh, and there is no greater feeling than when someone tells me that I've made their day better with my show, or that I've helped them get through a sickness or a hard time in their lives. But the real power of television for me is that, not that people watch my show, but people watch my show and then they're inspired to go out and do the same thing in their own lives. They make people laugh or be kind or help someone that's less fortunate than themselves. And that is the power of television, and I'm so, so grateful to be a part of it. Thank you so much, everybody.
DeGeneres took questions backstage after receiving her award.
You've won already so many accolades. How is this award any different?
It's very different. I mean, well, they're all different, but I mean, this is, it's a Carol Burnett Award. It's the Lifetime Achievement for Television, and that's, you know, crazy that I've gone in and out of television, and the fact that I would get something even connected to a name that I grew up admiring is obviously very important to me, and I think it sends a really powerful message to anyone out there trying to start a career and saying, I'm different. You can accomplish a whole lot. So I'm, as much as I don't seem emotional, I'm deeply moved by this. I mean, I really am.
Ellen.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a wonderful night.
Thank you.
You know, of course, we've been through a lot of ups and downs with you. And people talk about the hard times. But also, there is something to learn to coping with success, to coping with the next stage of life. What have you learned about taking advantage of success, about, you know, loving yourself and keeping going?
I think that I'm really happy for every single thing that happened in my life. I'm happy for the people that didn't support me. I'm happy for the times that were the hardest times in my life, because I feel like that's what makes you, you know? I mean, if everything's easy, you don't really have anything to compare it to. So I'm really grateful for all of the hard times, all of the things that didn't work out the way I wanted them to work out. And I feel bad for people that have everything working all the time, because that's just not life. Life doesn't work that way. So I'm just grateful for my journey, and of course, my husband, Mark.
That was out comedian and talk show host Ellen DeGeneres at the Golden Globe Awards. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Michael LeBeau, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Dan Roberts, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns. Nelson Riddle and his orchestra and Elton John and Taron Egerton performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, David Hunt, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WUML Lowell, Massachusetts, 3CR Fitzroy, Victoria, KRFP Moscow, Idaho, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Now, y'all stay tuned.